Here's your pass to the Globe Theater. Welcome to the Globe Theater, the radio theater playing exclusively to the men and women of the armed forces of the United Nations. Here for your entertainment are presented the finest plays selected from outstanding radio dramas. Now, to tell you about tonight's play, here is your host and master of ceremonies at the Globe Theater, Herbert Marshall.
Hello, everybody. In looking around for an appropriate play for this evening, you remember that each year at Christmas time, Lionel Barrymore brings joy to millions with his memorable portrayal of Scrooge in Dickens' immortal A Christmas Carol. And so it's with the greatest of pleasure that we welcome Mr. Barrymore to our Globe Theater stage for another performance of this traditional and beloved story, A Christmas Carol, with Lionel Barrymore.
Once upon a Christmas Eve, on a mean and shabby street in London, stood the warehouse of Scrooge and Marley. Of course, Marley was dead, but Scrooge never bothered to paint out his name over the door. It was a waste of time, paint, and money. Oh, he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, was Ebenezer Scrooge. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheeks, and spoke out crudely in his grating voice.
Get away from that door, do you hear me? Stop that infernal caterwauling or let us stick you back.
Blasted little sheep.
A frosty line was on Scrooge's head and on his eyebrows and on his wiry chin. He iced his office in the dog days and didn't thought one degree of Christmas. A fact that could be attested by Bob Cratchit, his overworked and shivering cough.
And what do you think you're about to do with that coal scuttle, Mr. Cratchit?
Well, you see, my stove's gone out, Mr. Scrooge.
Tell me, Mr. Cratchit, do you like working here?
Like it? Oh, yes.
Now, you have need of the 16 bob I pay every week.
Need? Oh, yes, indeed. You see, there's my wife and Tiny Tim and Belinda and Martha.
I see. Then may I suggest that you forget about the fire and get back to your work? Unless, of course, you'd prefer to keep Christmas by losing your situation.
Oh, no, sir. I'll get on with copying those letters at once. I'm very sorry, Mr. Scrooge. It won't happen again, I promise.
Pampering yourself at my expense. I won't have it, you understand? I won't have it.
Yes, and what did Scrooge think of Christmas? Well, on this particular Christmas Eve, his only nephew, Fred, stopped by the warehouse to see him.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Humbug.
Christmas, the humbug? Oh, come now, you don't mean that.
I do. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Very well, then. What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Ugh, humbug.
Oh, don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer. A time for balancing your books and having every item in them through a round dozen a month presented dead against you.
Uncle.
Yeah. If I had my way, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Uncle.
Neville. You keep Christmas in your own way, let me keep it mine.
But you don't keep it.
Well, let me leave it alone, then. What good may it do you? you've ever had, don't you?
I've always thought of Christmas time as the only time in the long calendar of the year when people open their shut-up hearts and think of their fellow men.
Yeah, humbug.
And therefore, although it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good. And I say God bless it.
You're a very powerful speaker, sir. I wonder you don't go into Parliament.
Oh, don't be angry, Uncle. Come and dine with us tomorrow.
Good afternoon, nephew.
But why won't you?
Good afternoon.
Well, I'm sorry to find you so resolute. But a Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Good afternoon!
No, Scrooge didn't believe for a moment that Christmas was a kind and charitable time. He proved it when two gentlemen stopped at his warehouse to collect his Christmas donation to the poor.
At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and the destitute.
Indeed. Tell me, are there no prisons?
Oh, plenty of prisons.
And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
They are.
Oh, very well. What do you want of me?
Well, a few of us are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth.
No.
Now, what shall we put you down for?
Nothing.
Oh, you wish to be anonymous.
I wish to be left alone.
Mr. Scrooge.
I don't make myself merry at Christmas time. I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help support the prison, the workhouses. They cost enough, heaven knows. And those who are badly off can go there.
But many can't go there. And many would rather die than go there.
They'd rather die, they'd better go and do it. Decrease the surplus population. Besides, I find it quite enough for a man to mind his own business and not interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
It was much colder when Scrooge started for home, and the fog was so thick that he had some difficulty in locating the lowering pile of buildings where he had a gloomy suit of rooms. Nobody lived in it but Scrooge. He put his key in the lock of the ancient door, and then a strange thing happened.
A door knocker. I could swear it was Molly's face. God, I'm bugged.
Scrooge entered, then locked and double-locked the door behind him. He wasn't a man to be frightened by a door knocking. He lit his candle and started up the stairs, his footsteps echoing through the quiet house.
Who's there?
What was that noise deep down below in the cellar, as if someone were dragging a heavy chain?
Ebenezer.
What's that?
The sound grew louder on the cellar stairs, rose higher in the empty halls below, and then climbed and clattered on the stairs behind Scrooge as he fled. Scrooge closed the door of his room and locked it.
I won't believe it.
Then, as though a part of the fog outside, the ghost of Jacob Marley passed through the closed and locked door.
Jacob Marley.
Around his waist was the chain Scrooge had heard on the stairs.
Cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, beads, every purse.
But still, Ebenezer Scrooge did not leave.
So now. What do you want?
Much, oh, much, Ebenezer.
Who are you?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. You don't believe in me.
I do not.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Oh, because a little thing affects me. A very slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheap. you may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, the fragment of an underdone potato. gravier and graver about you.
Oh,
please don't do that, I beg of you.
Oh, man of worldly mind, do you believe or not?
I do. It'll make you any happier. But why do spirits walk here? And why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him would walk abroad among his fellow men. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death.
Why do you wear that chain?
It is the one I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. The one you have made was full of heavy. And as long as this, 7 Christmas Eves ago, yours is a fond of a chain, Ebenezer.
Don't say that, Jacob. Don't say that, do you? You were always my friend. Be comfort to me.
I have none to give.
But why should you be so accursed? You were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business.
Jacob.
Dearly, my time is nearly gone.
I will, but don't be hard on me. And don't be flowery, Jacob, please.
I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate.
You were always a good friend to me, Jacob. Thank you.
You will be haunted by 3 spirits.
3 Jacob.
Expect the first tonight when the bell tolls 1.
A Jacob.
Expect the second on the next night at the same hour.
It is all the same to you, Jacob.
And the third will appear on the next night when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate.
Jacob.
Look to see me no more, Ebenezer.
Jacob, wait.
For your own sake, you remember what has passed between us.
Jacob. Jacob, wait now. Jacob. Quarter past. Half past. A quarter to 1. The hour is toast.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past. Rise and walk with me.
Oh, walk? In slippers? My dressing gown and my nightcap? What a spectacle I'd make. However, if you'll give me time to dress.
Come, there is no time to lose.
Very well. But I warn you, I'll catch my death.
Wait, not that way. We will leave by the window.
Window? Are you mad? I'm a mortal and liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand thus on your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. Come, Ebenezer Scrooge. Come. Look below us, Ebenezer Scrooge. You know this place?
Know it? Of course I know it. Why, I was a boy here. I could walk it blindfold. I know every gate and post and tree. See? There's my old school with the cupola and the bell hanging in it.
An ugly, lifeless place.
It's Christmas Day. All the boys have gone home for the holidays.
All? Who is that lonely child left behind and chided for his tears by the schoolmaster?
I was that child, too.
Oh, now, Master Ebenezer, no tears, if you please. There's nothing more degrading than self-pity. Besides, Christmas isn't at all important.
A very wise man, the schoolmaster. Do you agree with him, Ebenezer Scrooge?
Agree with him? Of course not. Christmas
is very important to a child of any age. To a child of any age. Poor boy. I wish... Oh, well, too late now.
Yeah? What is it?
Nothing much. There were some boys singing Christmas carols outside my warehouse. Wish I'd given something, that's all.
I see. Well, let us see another Christmas. You know this warehouse, Ebenezer Scrooge?
Know it? Of course I know it. I was the princess here.
Tell me, were you happy here?
Oh, yes, I was very happy, sir. My master was a kind man, and...
Oh, there he is! It's old Fezziwig! Fezziwig, alive again!
Yo-ho, yo-ho, me boys! No more work tonight, no more work. Christmas Eve day.
Yeah.
Christmas, Ebenezer. We're having a party tonight.
A party, sir? Yeah. Who invited
Mr. Fezziwig? The butcher, the baker, the milkman, and the cook. Here's the fiddler already. Yeah. Ho, ho, ho! Clear away, lads. Clear away.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Fezziwig.
Come, Master Fiddler. Unnimble your fingers. Give us something for dancing with plenty alive in it. Christmas Eve, you know, Christmas Eve. The best time of the year. God bless it.
A very simple and sentimental man, old Fezziwig, with no head at all for business, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ah, nonsense. Why, he was one of the greatest men alive. I wish...
Yes? What is it you wish?
Nothing. I was just thinking my car. Bob Cratchit, that's all.
Strange. But my time grows short. Now prepare yourself to be the spirit of a Christmas present.
Ebenezer Scrooge, behold in me the ghost of Christmas present. Come.
Where are we going?
To Camden Town. Hold fast to my robe. My time is short, and we must travel swiftly.
Camden Town? Why, that's where my clerk, Bob Cratchit, lives.
Yes, it is he we visit. See, there below is the street and the house you see. Not a pretty setting, is it?
Well, no. No, it isn't exactly palatial, but it probably said pleasant. After all, he's only a clerk, you know.
Ah, yes. And with so many mouths to feed, it doubtless is the best he can afford.
Hmm?
Come, we will go in.
Raisins! Raisins! I nearly forgot the raisins. Here, Belinda, you watch the applesauce.
Mm-hmm. Mother.
Martha, you got us the hot cake. And Joseph and Thomas can start setting the chairs at the table.
Oh, yes, Mother.
I don't see what's keeping your father and Tommy's here.
Perhaps the first service is extra long.
10 minutes more and the goose will fall apart and the pudding will be overdone.
Oh, Mother, no.
Oh, here they come now.
Oh, they're just in the corner.
Tommy's Jim riding on Father's shoulder.
Thank heaven. Open the door for them, Belinda.
Oh, yes.
Be careful, Bob.
What's the
tricky spot?
Get up,
Jarvis. There we are. Hold fast, Bob. It's a wild horse with a black mane. He gallops and fancies and runs like the wind. Hi-ho, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Down you come. Joseph, Thomas, take them off to the washhouse and get those hands clean for dinner.
Come on, Tiny Tail.
Just wait till you see what's in the oven.
There never was such a burn.
I don't waste any time. Everything's ready.
Well, how did he behave himself, Bob?
Oh, as good as gold, he said. You know, somehow he gets thoughtful, sitting by himself so much, and thinks the strangest things you ever heard.
Yes, I know.
He told me he's coming home he hoped the people saw him in the church because he was a cripple. Oh. And it might be pleasant for them to remember upon Christmas Day who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Poor boy. Poor boy.
Why are there tears in your eyes, Ebenezer Scrooge?
The Cratchit never told me the boy was lame.
He has worn that iron brace and carried that little crutch ever since he can remember. Why? They gather at the table.
A toast to the founder of the feast. I give you Mr. Scrooge.
The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him the feast of my mind to feast upon.
My dear, Christmas Day.
Now, this is health for your sake and the day, not for his.
And a Merry Christmas to us all, my dear. God bless us.
God bless us.
And what do you say, Tiny Tim?
God bless us, everyone.
Come, Ebenezer Scrooge, my time is up. You must go to meet the third and last spirit.
Wait. Tell me this before you leave me.
Yes?
Tell me. Will Tiny Tim live?
I see a vacant seat and a trust without the owner.
No. Don't say that.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child must die.
No.
Will it not be better if he does? As you once said, it will decrease the surplus population. Farewell, Ebenezer Scrooge. The ghost of Christmas yet to come awaits you.
Where am I? What place is this? So dark and cold and thick with fog? Huh? And who are you? Dark phantom with the hidden face? Ah, I fear you more than any of the others. Are you the ghost of Christmas yet to come?
What?
I see the burial ground. Wretched, overgrown with grass and weeds, the resting place of those forgotten and unloved. Why do you point to that stone? What name is written there that I must read? Well, the letters are too dim and the fog is too heavy. Tell me, sir, who rests in this lonely, untended earth?
You are that man, Ebenezer Scrooge.
No.
You are that man.
Hear me. I'm not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been but for this night. I'll honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. Hear me, spirit, and tell me I may sponge away the writing on that terrible stone. Spirit, you hear me? Spirit. Well, you're not spirit, boy. You're my own bedpost. This is the graveyard. My own room. Yes, sir. There's the door that old Jacob Marley entered. There's the window where the first spirit. Where is broad daylight? No fog or mist? Here's a beautiful, glorious day. And church bells must be thunder. Hey, boy! Oh, boy, are you down there?
Yes, sir.
What's the day, my fine fellow?
What day? Why, Christmas Day, of course.
Christmas Day! Ha ha! Does I have a missus? The church have done it all in one night. Hello, down there. Do you know the postal shop at the corner of my bus?
I should hope so, sir.
A very good boy. A remarkable boy. Tell me, do you know if they've sold the prize turkey?
The little one?
No. And the big prize turkey.
It's hanging there now.
Yeah, Go and tell him to bring it here.
Yes, sir.
Come back with the man and I'll give you a shilling.
Yes, sir.
Come back in less than 5 minutes or I'll give you half a crown.
Yes, sir.
This is. Look at him go. Yeah, I'll send it to Bob Cratchit. He can't know who sent it. Oh, what a joke that would be. This is twice the size of Tiny Tim. Let's see. I better get this. I've got a lot to do. Going to be a busy day. Yes, sir. A very busy day.
Yes, and it was a very busy day. Scrooge dressed himself all in his best, and when he got out on the street, people were pouring out of his churches. He regarded them with such a delighted smile that some of them said, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge.
He patted children on the head.
Hello, sir. Merry Christmas, my dear.
He gave to beggars.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, God bless you, sir.
And late in the afternoon, he went calling on his nephew. He had a wonderful time and a wonderful Christmas. The morning after Christmas, he was early at the office. Scrooge wanted to be there first, and he wanted to catch Bob Cratchit coming in late.
Well, Mr. Cratchit, so you finally got here, did you? Look at that clock. What do you mean by coming here this time of day?
I'm very sorry, Mr. Scrooge, but it won't happen again.
Indeed, it won't. Step over here to my desk, if you please.
It's only once a year.
That poor sort of excuse, Mr. Scrooge. I'm not going to stand for this kind of thing any longer. And therefore, my friend, about to raise your tower.
What? What was that, sir?
A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas than I've given you for many a year. I'll raise your tower and endeavor to assist your struggling family. Now make up the fires and buy another coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was even better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And a Tiny Tim, who did not die, was his second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Yes, and it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us.
And so is Tiny Tim observed. God bless us, everyone.
Warmest thanks to you, Lionel Barrymore, and to all the members of the cast for another splendid performance. Tonight's production of A Christmas Carol was selected from the radio series Mayor of the Town. The musical score was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. The Christmas carols were sung by the Paul Taylor Chorus, and the narration was by Frank Martin. Now, this is your host of the Globe, Herbert Marshall, wishing each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas.
You have been attending the Globe Theater with Herbert Marshall as host and master of ceremonies. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.